from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla visits Argentina to attend G20 summit. Indonesia seeks to build ASEAN-China mutual trust in negotiation. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla and entourage departed from Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base, Jakarta on Wednesday for Argentina to attend the 2018 G20 Leaders Summit. Members of Kalla's entourage include his spouse, Mufidah Kalla, Empowerment of State Apparatus and Reform Minister Safruddin, and Communication and Informatics Minister Rudiantara. Earlier on Tuesday, Yusuf Kalla said, during the summit, Indonesia will push for global economic policy to prevent a world trade between the U.S. and China. Common efforts are crucial to prevent trade war between the U.S. and China because the trade war could affect the world's largest economies. The 2018 meeting of the G20 Leaders Summit will take place in Buenos Aires, Argentina from November 30 to December 1st. Argentina has selected the theme Building Consensus for Fair and Sustainable Development for the 2018 G20 Leaders Summit and has identified three key issues for the agenda: the future of work, infrastructure for development, and a sustainable food future. The Group of 20 is a leading forum of the world's major economies that seeks to develop global policies to address today's most pressing challenges. The G20 is made up of 19 countries and the European Union. Marine Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujiastuti has appealed to the public not to use single-use plastics anymore to help the government achieve the target of reducing marine litter by 70% in 2025. She said Indonesia is now listed as the world's second largest producer of marine litter. If the use of single-use plastic is not reduced, the sea will have more litter than fish in 2030, the minister said. The minister praised some people who have changed plastic waste from garments into such handicrafts as wrapped bags. The government is mulling the reduction of plastic waste in the country, including a plan to impose sanctions and disincentives on the use of plastics. A call for the reduction of plastic waste in the country has resurfaced after the carcass of a 9.5-meter-long sperm whale was found washed ashore in Kaputa Isle, Wakatobi District, Saudi Sulawesi on November 19. Nearly 5.9 kilograms of plastic waste. The cause of the whale's death is still unknown, but considering the large lump of plastic waste in its stomach, it is most likely that the plastic waste caused its death. This is the second whale stranded ashore the Wakatobi waters this year after a 13-meter-long whale was found dead in the Bombana waters last February. The Indonesian government seeks to build mutual trust between ASEAN and China to encourage progress in the Code of Conduct COC negotiations in the South China Sea dispute region. Foreign Ministry Director General of ASEAN Cooperation Joseph Tavares said in Jakarta on Thursday that ASEAN and China must get rid of mutual distrust to be able to discuss and make agreements in the COC negotiation. According to Tavares, if ASEAN member countries are convinced that China is willing to negotiate the COC well, it will answer many concerns, including the freedom of navigation in the South China Sea region. The Indonesian government has always stressed the importance of COC in the South China Sea to control the situation in the disputed region in order to remain stability and peace. The matters discussed and included in the COC regarding the South China Sea, in principle, are about ways to deal with disputes in the region based on international law and norms. Some progress has been made in the efforts to deal with disputes and reduce tensions in the South China Sea. South Korean Ambassador to Indonesia Kim Chang-bum has praised Indonesia for its role in the progress of creating peace in the Korean Peninsula. During a discussion on the latest situation in the Korean Peninsula held in Jakarta on Tuesday, Kim highlighted Indonesian President Joko Widodo's initiative to invite North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to the commemoration of 30 years of ASEAN-South Korea partnership in 2019. President Joko Widodo proposed the invitation to South Korean President Moon Jae-in on the sidelines of the ASEAN summit held in Singapore recently. And at meetings with ASEAN leaders, President Moon Jae-in pledged to follow up on the suggestion. The ambassador remarked at the seminar organized by the South Korean Embassy and the Habibie Center. As a country sharing sound friendship with South Korea and bilateral relations with North Korea for over five decades, Indonesia supported the creation of a sustainable peaceful situation in the Korean Peninsula. Through the various efforts, Kim Chang-bum expressed hope that all the relevant parties would build understanding with regard to the latest progress in the peninsula and explore the possibility of cooperation in creating global peace and stability. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government continues to encourage the promotion of democracy and human rights in the Southeast Asian region. Foreign Ministry Director General of ASEAN Cooperation, Joseph Tavares, sat in Jakarta on Tuesday. He said that if you look at democracy and human rights in ASEAN, there have always been ups and downs. He can proudly say Indonesia remains at top. They continue to encourage respect for democracy and human rights in ASEAN. Joseph Tavares made the remarks during a public discussion titled Debriefing on the 33rd ASEAN Summit and Related Summits, the Scorecard in Pushing Forward for ASEAN Centrality. ASEAN and its member states have adopted a guidance to respect human rights, namely ASEAN Human Rights Declaration. The declaration explains ASEAN member states' commitment to human rights for their respective population. To that end, Joseph opined that ASEAN member states must begin to step forward for democracy and human rights. Indonesian government has always made efforts to improve respect for democracy and human rights in ASEAN by encouraging ASEAN member states to report track record on developments in human rights for discussion in ASEAN. Coordinating Minister for Politics and Security Wiranto said that soldiers of Indonesian Armed Forces must maintain the stability of state security while entering the 2019 political year. Minister Wiranto stated when giving a briefing at the Commander of Regime, Commander of District Military Infantry Armament Center, Pusenit, Bandung on Tuesday, that their main task, except fighting the enemy, is also to help the police to help to secure this country. He noted that the role of the Indonesian military and Indonesian police was very central in securing various and important national agendas. The stability of national security has an impact on the smooth running of political activities in 2019. He claimed to have mapped out areas prone to electoral conflicts. The level of vulnerability varies in all areas that have been identified. The mapping index is prone to conflict, and its resolution efforts have been applied to the simultaneous regional elections in 2018. The result, he revealed, was that there was no significant political turmoil in an area. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. China remains the biggest market for Indonesian export. Chief of the Trade Assessment and Development Board of the Trade Ministry, Dr. Kasan Saad. He said in his general lecture at Hasanuddin University campus in Makassar on Thursday that Indonesia's exports to China jumped 30% and to the U.S. as the third largest export destination only rose 3%. China is the largest market for Indonesia's exports, while at the same time it is also the largest supplier of imported goods to Indonesia. For all of the last year, Indonesia's exports to China rose 24.10% to $28.30 billion compared to a year earlier. Trade attaché of the Indonesian embassy in Beijing, Dandi S. Iswara, told Antara in February that all Indonesian commodities exported to China saw an increase last year. Kasan said the trade war between the two economic superpowers has encouraged Indonesia to establish cooperation with both China and the U.S. to increase its export access to the two countries' markets. He also said exports are one of the engines of Indonesia's economic growth. However, to establish international trade cooperation, Indonesia must consider commodities which deserve protection and which do not. The Indonesian embassy in Singapore invited 12 ambassadors based in Singapore and Jakarta to join the ambassadors' familiarization trip to Batam, Riau Islands province. Minister Counselor of the Indonesian Embassy in Singapore, Berlianto Situngkir, told Antara in Jakarta on Thursday that the program was held by the Indonesian Embassy in collaboration with the Ministry of Tourism and supported by Batam Management Agency and the local administration. During the trip, the ambassadors visited Infinite Studio and Nongsa Digital Park. The ambassadors were explained about creative industries developed at Infinite Studio, especially for film and animation productions with international standards. The digital industry in Batam was inaugurated by the Indonesian and Singaporean foreign ministers and has been used by around 60 startups, including for education and training programs. The Indonesian ambassador to Singapore, Ngurah Swajaya, stated that the economic potential in Batam is not only tourism, but also digital economy industry, shipyards and electronics industry. Besides those potentials, Batam also serves as a transportation hub in the region. Flag carrier Garuda Indonesia will reopen the Jakarta-Nagoya flight beginning March 23 next year after the state-owned airlines closed their routes several years earlier. Garuda Indonesia President Director Ari Askara said in a written press statement on Tuesday that the opening of the route again is part of the network expansion commitment of Garuda Indonesia. He also said that network expansion was being done through flight capacity development and fleet utilization on prospective flight routes. The Jakarta-Nagoya route will be served 4 times a week, vice versa, on Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Garuda will operate Airbus A330 dual-class planes consisting of economy and business classes. The service for this route is part of the positive step taken by Garuda in maintaining market sailing in its Japan-Indonesia service. Moreover, Japan-Indonesia routes continue to grow and promising, where the number of Japanese tourist arrivals in Indonesia continue to increase significantly, especially in Jakarta, which is the country's biggest economic center. Nagoya, which is the capital of Aichi Prefecture, is a very potential market for Garuda Indonesia, especially tourism business and passengers. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is commentary for today entitling Fuel Price Hike in French. After a large demonstration protesting the increase in fuel prices in France on November 24 to 25, the situation in major cities in France, especially Paris, has now become under control. French President Emmanuel Macron has ordered to crack down on anyone who causes and provokes riots that cause damage and casualties. In his speech, related to the transitions after the riots in Paris, Tuesday, November 27th, President Emmanuel Macron said that the government
must listen to what happens in society, but must not forget the responsibility for what happens to the environment for future generations. The policy of increasing fuel prices aims to protect both parties, namely, the community and the environment. Meanwhile, French Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire and representative of the Ministry of Economy held a meeting with retail traders, craftsmen, chambers of commerce, and the biggest union of French employees, MEDEF, to find out the economic situation, the impact on sales on the French economy, and the consequences that must be known. The demonstration was pioneered by Yellow Jacket Group, the jacket worn by officers to handle motorcycles accident on the road. Protesters were driven by motorists who protested the increase in diesel prices, which were widely used by motorbike users. Starting on Saturday, November 17, thousands of people staged actions in various ways in the capital city of Paris and cities throughout France. The peak of the demonstration was riots on Saturday and Sunday, on November 24th to 25th, where more than 8,000 demonstrators gathered and carried out acts of violence and arson. The Paris security forces finally succeeded in reducing the action and received praise from the president and security stakeholders. Indeed, the policy of raising the price of fuel oil is to encourage citizens to switch to cleaner transportation facilities. Apart from the high tax increase for crude oil and the carbon tax set by the previous government, it was intended to encourage the use of utilization of renewable energy. The French government plans to reduce dependence on fossil fuels, with the aim of fossil energy consumption of 40% by 2030 and the ultimate goal of achieving zero emissions. Sitting together with opponents of the government policy is a wise step to avoid unwanted situation in the future. However, the aim of saving humanity by reducing emissions and pollution must remain a priority, because the situation in France can occur in any country in the world. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listener, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from a historical note about an incident of New Zealand Air Flight 901 crashed into Mount Erebus. On November 28, 1979, the Mount Erebus accident occurred, involving an aircraft owned by Air New Zealand. The Air New Zealand Flight 901 aircraft with ZK and ZP tail registration number crashed into Mount Erebus in the Antarctic Pole. The aircraft was scheduled to fly from Auckland, New Zealand, to an excursion flight to Antarctica. The destination of the aircraft was Christchurch International Airport, New Zealand. The aircraft carried 237 passengers and 20 crew members. The crash caused all passengers and crews immediately died. Next turn is Tree Planting Day in Indonesia on November 28. Indonesian former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono launched the Indonesian Tree Planting Day at the Limnology Research Center in of Lipi, Cibinong, on November 28, 2008. On this occasion, the former president planted nyamplung or Calophyllum inophyllum L, and the first lady planted breadfruit or
Artocarpus communis as the commencement of planting simultaneously of 100 million trees for 2008 throughout Indonesia. The former president wanted to make a tradition of planting trees for Indonesian people. The determination was outlined in Indonesia's Presidential Decree No. 24 of 2018 concerning Indonesian Tree Planting Day. The activity was the strategy of Indonesian nation in an effort to anticipate global climate change, degradation and deforestation of forest and land, as well as other environmental damage, which resulted in a decrease of natural productivity and environmental sustainability. We end today's segment of Today in History with Penumbra Moon Eclipse on November 28, 2012. The eclipse is called penumbra because the moon is not covered by umbra of the earth. This eclipse will be difficult to observe with the naked eye because changes in the moon are not very clearly visible. The moon won't darken, it will only dim the light. The penumbra lunar eclipse took place at 19:15 West Indonesia time and ended at 23:52 West Indonesia time. During the condition, the moon is in the eastern sky with a height of around 20 degrees. Listener, that was today's segment of Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. Today's topic is about Indonesia as World Trade Organization WTO to get attention on the interests of developing countries. Indonesian Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita stated that Indonesia's position was open to ideas of reform and modernization of the World Trade Organization WTO in carrying out its functions. WTO reforms will bring positive changes to the multilateral trading system and are expected to accommodate the interests of developing countries, including Indonesia. This was conveyed by Minister Enggar Tias To after meeting with the WTO Director General Roberto Azevedo at the WTO office in Geneva, Switzerland on Thursday, November 22. Minister Enggar Tias To said that Indonesia was open to various ideas related to WTO reform as long as it could accommodate the interests of all members. Therefore, the WTO should not forget and ignore things that have not been resolved, such as the negotiations of Doha Round, and still consider the interests of developing countries and less developed countries. Meanwhile, as the G33 coordinator, Indonesia also wants the WTO reforms to continue to pay attention to matters such as public share ownership and special protection mechanisms. Regarding the matter, Minister Enggar Tias To underlined the response of WTO Director General Roberto Azevedo, who stressed that the WTO would not ignore unresolved matters. Minister Enggar Tias To explained, the proposal to reform the WTO was based on increasingly widespread uncertainty in the world trade system. The WTO is also seen as weakening in carrying out its functions, especially seen from the undeveloped completion of Doha round negotiations, protectionism carried out by many member states, and increased trade pressure, the threat of the United States blockade on charging appellate body members, as well as the WTO monitoring system. Therefore, the proposals for reform and modernization covering three WTO functions, namely monitoring, dispute resolution mechanisms, and negotiations. Minister Engartia Stoemerov added, the proposal of reformation and previous WTO modernization have been agreed by several supporting countries like Canada, Australia, Brazil, Chile, Japan, Kenya, Korea, Mexico, New Zealand, Norway, Singapore, Switzerland, and the European Union through a joint communique meeting in Ottawa, Canada on October 24 and 25, 2018. Related to monitoring and transparency, WTO reformation supporting countries argued that the WTO monitoring system must be strengthened to overcome the increasing trade pressure lately. Furthermore, Minister Engartia Stolokita added that Indonesia is also open to the proposal of WTO strengthening system and transparency, but must consider the challenges faced by developing countries in order to fulfill the commitment. Listener, that was My Indonesia for today's edition.
Here is news in brief from Donald Pani. Indonesian Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla and entourage departed from Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base, Jakarta on Wednesday for Argentina to attend the 2018 G20 Leaders Summit. The Indonesian government seeks to build mutual trust between ASEAN and China to encourage progress in the Code of Conduct COC negotiations in the South China Sea dispute region. Marine Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujastuti has appealed to the public not to use single-use plastics anymore to help the government achieve the target of reducing marine litter by 70% in 2025. South Korean Ambassador to Indonesia Kim Chang-bom has praised Indonesia for its role in the progress of creating peace in the Korean Peninsula. Coordinating Minister for Politics and Security Wiranto said the soldiers of the Indonesian Armed Forces must maintain the stability of state security while entering the 2019 political year. The Indonesian Embassy in Singapore invited 12 ambassadors based in Singapore and Jakarta to join the ambassadors' familiarization trip to Batam, Riau Islands province. Flag carrier Garuda Indonesia will reopen the Jakarta-Nagoya flight beginning March 23 next year after the state-owned airlines closed the route several years earlier. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listener, hearing a word Lombok usually, which is immediately remembered, is the beauty of its nature, and some of its tourism objects are popular as Sasak Traditional Village or Gili Islands. But Lombok has more interesting objects to visit, such as beautiful sea, beach, and Sasak Traditional Village. More interestingly, we can enjoy visiting Luang Balok Park or religious tour, which is located at Mataram City, Lombok. listeners, for most tourists, the name of Loang Balog is quite strange, but for Lombok people, they have been familiar. There is a tomb which has been well known since the past. Local people believe that the tomb is one of the Islamic spreaders in Lombok in the past time. Loang Balog itself means tomb, which is located at the center of banyan tree. Myth which spreads out is that anybody who wants to convey desire must tie a rope on the tree and then pray. If the desire has been granted, they must come to hold thanksgiving and open the rope which was tied. The tradition by Lombok people is called Saur Sesanggi, or paying offering. Listener, besides tomb and its mythology, there is also a big lake. The scenery is more beautiful and some trees grow at the surrounding area. In addition, at this place, there is also a park which provides various playing ground facilities for kids. After being exhausted to go down the lake and wishing to take a rest, tourists can use the gazebo provided in this area. While eating food at the gazebo, they can enjoy the beauty of the scenery in the evening. Other facilities which are provided, such as mosque and also reflection stones. Listeners, if we look at the landscape and facilities, the park is quite simple. However, the place is quite suitable for tourists who want to visit along with family. To visit Loang Balog Park, tourists must pay entrance ticket, 2,000 rupiah per person. If you drive your car, you do not have to worry because there is a nice parking area and also there are some guards who are ready to protect your car. Music. Listeners, Loang Balog Park is usually crowded when Eid al-Fitri holiday until Lebaran Ketupat, namely 1 week after Eid al-Fitri celebration. Loang Balog Tomb is also crowded when celebration of Maulid Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are interested to visit Loang Balog Park, the place is located at Tanjung Karang, Lombok, Nusa Tenggara Barat, precisely at the Southern Circle Line, and it is not far from Mataram City. To go to this location, you can use tow or cars and also public transportation. Its location is quite strategic and the access is quite easy. From Mataram City, it only takes 50 minutes. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation between RRI World Service and the Language Development Agency and Cultivation at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Kita Menonton Film Lalu Karaoke, or in English, we watch a film and then do karaoke. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about kita menonton film lalu karaoke, or in English, we watch a film and then karaoke. At the cultural center, Tony and Anda are taking rest after doing activity.
Kita telah melakukan banyak hal. Pertama, kita menonton film, lalu pertunjukan tari. Setelah itu, karaoke.
Iya, benar. Apa yang akan kita lakukan selanjutnya?
Kita akan pulang, tapi sebelum pulang, kita makan dulu.
After the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word twice, slowly, and you can follow after me. Pertama, pertama in English first, lalu in English then, setelah in English after, sebelum in English before. Kita telah melakukan banyak hal. Kita telah melakukan banyak hal. In English, we have done many things. Pertama, kita menonton film, lalu pertunjukan tari. Pertama, kita menonton film, lalu pertunjukan tari. In English, first we watch a film, and then dance performance. Setelah itu, kita karaoke. Setelah itu, kita karaoke. In English, afterwards, we do karaoke. Apa yang akan kita lakukan selanjutnya? Apa yang akan kita lakukan selanjutnya? In English, what will we do next? Kita akan pulang, tapi sebelum pulang kita makan dulu. Kita akan pulang, tapi sebelum pulang kita makan dulu. In English, we will go home, but before going home, we eat first. In the dialogue, Anda and Tony talk about activities they have done. When mentioning the sequence of activities, Anda and Tony use the words first, then, after, and before. When you want to convey a sequence of activities, you can use these words. Let's follow some examples of the use of the words first, then, after, and before in the Indonesian language. Pertama, kita menonton film, lalu pertunjukan tari. In English, first, we watch a film and then a dance performance. Kita melihat pertunjukan tari setelah menonton film. In English, we will watch a dance performance after watching a film. Kita akan makan sebelum pulang. In English, we are going to eat before going home. Setelah makan, kita akan pulang. In English, after eating, we will go home. Next, if you want to ask someone about the next activities in Indonesian language, you can say, apa yang akan kita lakukan selanjutnya? In English, what will we do next? In addition to activity, you can also ask about event, show, and etc. Let's follow examples in a conversation. Tony, apa acara selanjutnya? Apa acara selanjutnya? In English, what is the next event? Anda, acara selanjutnya adalah pertunjukan tari. Acara selanjutnya adalah pertunjukan tari. In English, the next event is a dance performance. Tony, apa pertunjukan selanjutnya? In English, what is the next performance? Anda, tari topeng. In English, mass dance. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Kita telah melakukan banyak hal. Pertama, kita menonton film, lalu pertunjukan tari. Setelah itu, karaoke.
Iya, benar. Apa yang akan kita lakukan selanjutnya?
Kita akan pulang, tapi sebelum pulang, kita makan dulu.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Goodbye.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to some songs of female group of music, Nonaria. Nonaria was established in 2013 with formation Asia, vocal and snare, Nanin piano, and Yasinta on violin. The music of Nonaria brings messages formed by musical drama characteristic of Nonaria. The song Antri You is their first single before they released an album in 2018. Listener, I will present you a song by Nonaria entitled Antri You. Stay with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through live streaming at www.voinews.id or RRI Play application.
Selak seli kanan kiri, seladak seruduk ke sana kemari.
Listener, you have just listened to the song entitled Antri You by Nonaria. the musical group of Nonaria launched its first album in the early of 2018 entitled Nonaria after 5 years has played the music together. Since it was established, Nonaria carries jazz genre and often performs Indonesian songs in ancient times, but they feel that their character is not strong enough. Nonaria decided to change. Now their music is more heard of jazz swing and ragtime, which has also been listened in Indonesian songs chart from the 40s to the 1950s. One of the role models of music in the era was Ismail Marzuki. The nuances of pastime and the character of Nonaria is getting stronger since they change haircut style that are also old times. Listener, here is a song entitled Tamasya. Listener, that's a song by Nonaria entitled Tamasya. Ismail Marzuki and Bing Slamet were very influential on the music of Nonaria. The song entitled Santai, for example, reminds audiences of old Indonesian music that depended on sound elements of piano, and violin. According to Jacinta Patiasina, a violinist in the Nonaria trio, the old songs were deliberately composed precisely to enrich the treasures of Indonesian music currently. The lyrics-themed daily activities is heard clearly in Nonaria songs, which are almost all cheerful. Nonaria never raises general themes such as falling in love or heartbreak in their songs. Nonaria wants people to be cheerful in listening their song. Listener, to end our segment, let me present you two more songs entitled Santai and Sayur Labu. Happy listening and see you in the next Music Corner edition.
La 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 la. Santai saja pa, santai saja. Duduk-duduk pa, lepas lelah. Hari sudah semakin senja, bersantailah lepas kerja. Takkan dia lari, si esok hari kopi dulu pak. Santai saja, pisang goreng pak, gula jawa. Matahari telah berjanji, dia akan datang esok pagi. Tersenyumlah, santai saja.
Agar semua
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.